Good morning. You're very welcome. Let me extend another warm welcome to you. If you're visiting with us first, second, 100th time, you are very welcome to Liberty Community Church. We're going to finish off a series that we started it's a month and a half ago now, called Running on Empty. And the whole premise of not running on empty was this, that we don't want you to live your life on empty when God has a full life for you. We don't want you settling for second best when God has something incredible for your life. That there's something inside of each one of us that God has placed there. And the encouragement over these last weeks has been, don't run on empty. Because God has the opposite for you. There's many people up in the graveyard that have died with the potential still inside of them. That they've given up on life, they've given up on dreams, they've given up on ambitions, they've given up on desires, they've given up on the very things that God had created for them to do. Don't you die with your potential inside of you. There may have been many, many wolves come to try to cut you off before you reach your potential. There may have been disasters or situations that has come into your life that has tried to rob you. But you're here this morning. You're sitting under the sound of my voice. You're going to hear the scriptures. You're going to hear the word of God that will consistently say to you, God has something for you that no one else can fill it like you can fill it. Don't you die with your potential inside of you. This city needs your potential. This country needs your potential. Your community, your children, our grandchildren, the generations that have to come after us, they need that potential inside of you. Don't you dare die with your potential inside of you. Say amen. Amen. And I encourage you to get onto the website, www.libertychurch.ie. And click onto the podcast. Look over the website. Get onto the podcast and go, what's this fella on about? If you have wisdom with us, just get onto them. Let God, let us soak into you. Let the encouragement of people that have come out of all types of situations that are now living for God and are doing everything to reach their potential. But today, I'd love to remember all of the sermons and go through them all, but I haven't got that time. So you pick it up. Amen? Talked about when God needs to fill you up. I talked about when we allow ourselves get empty and all the time God wants to fill. But this morning I want to finish with, what if God wants to really empty us so that we can truly live to the full? A bit of a contradiction in terms, but no, you have to be saying for weeks, God wants to fill you. But the contradiction of the kingdom is he also wants to really, really empty us. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. If you want to turn in your Bible to 1 Kings chapter 17, we visited our friend Elijah last week, which we're constantly reminded every week in intercession. Well, not constantly, consistently, that the Bible says that Elijah was a man just like me and you. He was a person, an individual with needs and fears just like us. He wasn't some superman. He didn't come from another planet. He hadn't got these special powers like someone off of X-Men. He was like you and me. So whenever we read this, don't let your mind say, well, that's all right for Elijah. He was special. He had supernatural powers. He had God on his side. See how ridiculous those arguments get? It says in chapter 17, now Elijah, the Tishbite from Tishbe is in Gilead, said to Ahab, Ahab was the king. He says, as the Lord, the God of Israel lives, whom I serve, there will neither be dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word. He goes to the king and says, I want to tell you something. Except at my word, for the next couple of years, there's going to be no rain. There's going to be drought in the land. Then the word of the Lord, verse 2 says, the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Leave here, turn eastward and hide in the Kerit ravine east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook and I have ordered the ravens to feed you there. So he did what the Lord had told him. A And he went to Kerit Ravine, east of the Jordan, and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the brook. Now Elijah told the king there's going to be no rain. The reason why this was because the people of God, the Israelites, had turned to false gods. They had turned led by Ahab, who was under duress, under the spell of Jezebel, who was his wife, who was telling him what to do, where to go, how to do it. And she was being influenced by other gods. And they says, we're going to worship Baal. And Baal was the god that she wanted them to worship. And she said, Baal is the god. And God told Elijah to speak about these things because God was displeased. As God says, I'm going to disconnect from you right now. I'm going to send my man. He's going to tell you what's going on. And you have to deal with what's going to happen next. He turned off the water. Listen, when the Spirit of God is upon you and the Lord tells you to do something. And imagine saying to our Prime Minister, or one of the Minister for Environment, I want to tell you this is what God's going to do. We're turning off the rain in Ireland. And everyone said, amen. Didn't get that quick, did you? And the Minister would probably say amen. But it wouldn't be, because we wouldn't have a beautiful green country. We wouldn't have a lush land. He turned her off like a tap. I'm going to turn her off. And when it comes back on, it'll be at my say. And then it says in verse 2, the word of the Lord came to Elijah. I want to bring us on a journey of God emptying Elijah. It says the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Leave here. Take a right turn. Go eastward. Go down to that ravine. Take another left east at the Jordan. You will drink from the brook. Remember, there was a drought. There was no water, which means no water, no crops, etc. You're going to drink and you're going to eat. I've ordered the birds of the sky to feed you. And verse 5, it says, so he did, Elijah did what the Lord had told him. When you hear the Bible or us, anyone up here saying, the Lord told me. What do we mean by that? What do you mean you heard God, Elijah? What do you mean that God said something to you? To go down to the ravine, go over to this place. Listen to where when God spoke to Elijah, how specific God was. He was on the button. He was like, go down to the ravine, turn eastward, then go and then take another turn and go down to the Jordan. He was spot on in his directions. But when people say, I heard from God, what does that mean? The word of the Lord came to him. What does that sound like? What does it feel like when the Lord speaks to you? Well, sometimes we use words and we never explain them. Well, let me explain some of the understanding that I have. First of all, when people say, like the Lord spoke to me, it's sometimes like an impression that is put in your heart or on your heart. It's like something that is pressed into your very conscience of something that God wants you to do. It's something you can't shake easy because it's been embedded into your thinking and into your heart. Yes, some people say, like, I felt it. I felt the Lord say. It's like it's been impressed in a way that you feel it. Sometimes it's like a thought dropped into your mind. Sometimes it's like an idea dropped in. Sometimes it's like, wow, where did that come from? And God can speak in an audible voice, but when he speaks in this realm, on this way of things, it's actually nearly louder than an audible voice. It's not audible all the time. It's not even audible most of the time, but it's louder than that when you know when God speaks to you. How do I learn that it's God? Start obeying the thoughts and the impressions that come into your heart. Now, I'm not saying if you get an impression or a feeling that your wife is annoying you and a thought comes into your mind, I'd love to strangle her. No! I'm not saying that stuff because anything that God will say will not be contradictory to what he's already written. It won't be against this. If God says, do not kill, and a thought comes into your mind, kill her. Not that I would ever think that. Or not that my wife would ever think that, I should say. But you can know straight away, that's not God, because God doesn't go against himself. He doesn't speak the opposite to what he's already written in his book, the Bible. But learn to obey. Don't get freaked out if you think What will they say about me? Don't get tinked out. What if I never, don't get freaked out. What if I never hear from God? Listen, when God wants you to hear him, you will hear him. When God wants you to know something, he will get you to know it, even if he has to say. Can you imagine the shepherds? And they were thinking, it's on their mind, God's going to send his son into the world as a baby. And they're saying, that's stupid. And God is up in heaven, like, they're not getting it. Angels, open heaven, open the sky, and blast trumpets down at them, and tell them I'm going to send my son. That's when God wants you to hear something. He'll pull heaven open. He'll scream it out of heaven because he loves you and wants you to hear what he has to say. In fact, when God wants you to hear something, don't get freaked out because you'll hear it everywhere. People will talk about the same issue that God is speaking to you about. Things to know about when God is speaking, it's never against his nature. He never goes the opposite to what his nature is. He's loving, kind, compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love. If someone's speaking to you about God's going to kill you, or you have a thought in your head, this happened to me, maybe God is after me, he broke me leg, he broke me neck just to get me attention. Would you break your kid's neck to get their attention? Don't answer that. Lovingly, you wouldn't. You may feel like it at times. So he wouldn't go against his nature. He wouldn't get you on the ground and beat the head off you just to say, now are you listening? He's kind, compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love, showing mercy to generations. He'll never go against his word. He'll never go against his word. Things to know when God is speaking to you, test it. Run it by somebody. Ask someone you trust, what do you think of this? When the word of the Lord came to Elijah, he received direction. Go here. Specific direction. Take a right. Go down to the brook. When he heard God's voice, he received provision. Wrapped up in hearing God's voice was drinking and eating in a time of a famine. So he did what the Lord said to him. Verse 5. So he did. Guys, you can have all of the words you want from God, but unless you put action to them, they're just words. They'd be missed words. They'd be missed opportunities. Elijah heard God saying, go on down, there's a famine. You go on down there. Imagine Elijah said, that was a nice word on Sunday morning. That was great what we heard last Sunday. Do you want to pray or do you want to eat? Do you remember? And some of us made decisions about, no, I'm not going to just be an eater. I'm going to be a prayer. I'm going to seek God. And then Monday comes and we're eating. Hey, we're all the same. You have to bring yourself back to where God spoke to you. No, I promised God I would do that when I was sitting under his word. I'm going to do that. But you can have all the words you want, but if you don't act on them, there's no power in them. If you don't obey, Elijah was fed by the ravens because he obeyed what he heard from God. There's many opportunities before every one of us today. But they will remain opportunities unless you take them. I want us to be opportunity takers. Do you ever get people that are like, when someone does something and then they go, yeah, I seen that. Or when someone goes and makes something happen and you're sitting there and you go, oh, yeah, I seen that as well. Well, how come they're making it happen and you're just seeing it? They have to go from seeing it to actually taking a hold of it and making it happen because it's your opportunity. There's too many people living with missed opportunities. So he did what the Lord had told him to do. He obeyed the Lord. Sometime later, the brook dried up. And the Lord spoke to him again. Listen, we're on a journey. It's only 12 o'clock. We're on a journey. The word of the Lord, verse 8 of 1 Kings, the word of the Lord came to him. Go at once to Zarephath and stay there. And I will command a widow. Will you read my notes this morning? I will command a widow in that place to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath. Again, the brook dried up. The place where God brought him to, it was dried up. And then he says, now the word of the Lord came again. Go to Zarephath. There's a widow there, and she's going to supply what you need. So he got up, and he went. He didn't sit at the brook and say, God doesn't love me anymore. There's no water. He didn't sit there anymore and go, ravens, I'm hungry. He got up. And he obeyed the word of the Lord. And he went to the place where he knew that he would receive God's vision. He gets there. There's a woman. There's a famine in the land. Remember, there's a woman. And she has a bit of bread, some sticks, and a bit of oil. And some water.
And Elijah sees her and he says, what have you got there missing? She tells him. And he says, look, she says, this is what she says, I have my last meal. And after my last meal, me and my son's going to die. There's nothing else. I have a bit of bread, a bit of flour and water to make bread, and that's it, a bit of some oil. And Elijah says to her, if you give me some of that cake, you will not die. Incredible. He says to her, listen in verse 13, do not be afraid. Go home and do as you've said, but first make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain back onto this land. Elijah had to step out in faith to go and meet this woman again, away from the brook. He goes there. She only has a little bit of something just to pass her by, and then all of a sudden, to get her boy for that day, and then death. And the man of God steps up and says, no, feed me, and God's blessing will be on all the rest. Give me the first bit of your cake, the first bit of your last meal, and this drought will not trouble you. Be not afraid. He says, be not afraid. God will come true if you come true for me. Elijah stepped up in faith, and this woman now had an option. Do I keep my little bit and die, or do I put it into God's hands and live? A real dilemma. It sounds easy when you speak it from here, but a real dilemma. Do I trust God? Or do I just die, eat this and die? Do I trust the man of God that he will be able to give unto me if I give my first fruits? I couldn't help but think about when I was reading this, that God asks us all of the time for the first fruits of our life. And he says, if you give me the first fruits, I'll bless the rest. If you give me the first fruits, I will bless whatever else you have left. We give in this church, money to the church, the first fruits of our labor to the church. And we say, God, here it is, I'm giving it unto you for the furtherance of your kingdom. And I don't know how it works, but 90% in God's kingdom outlasts 100% in this world every time. Every single time. Why? Because we're left with the same dilemma this woman has. Do I trust God with my tenth? Do I trust God with my first fruits? Or do I keep it all for myself? If you want 20 years of experience, give God your first fruits. And you will never lack. Never, ever, ever lack. Some say if I win the lotto, I'd give God this, this, and this. God is saying, can you just trust me with a tenner out of your wage? I'll give you everything when I have everything. Imagine the woman says, look, you bring all the bread to me and all the oil to outdo this famine, and then I'll give you my piece of bread. It doesn't work that way. That's not faith. He says, trust me with your little, and God will give you more. Where we want to keep our little, and we never see the more. And it's like in every aspect of our lives. That's why we have to have a spirit of generosity. We have to have, it has to be about us. If you have two tunics, give somebody one that has none. It has to be an attitude, a lifestyle. And then God will keep on bringing in the abundance. She went away and did what Elijah said. And Elijah, so there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and for her family. The jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken through Elijah. It's amazing the results that occur when you're obedient to God. It's amazing the provision of God that is provided for other people when you're obedient to God. Who knew what was on the other side of that obedience? I'm looking at this woman would have died if Elijah didn't obey God. This woman would have had one meal with her son and then death. We don't know what's on the other side of our obedience. When God says to you, do something, it could be the matter of saving someone's life. It could be the difference of someone falling into a pit or not. It could be the difference of someone going and killing themselves or not. It could be the difference of someone walking away from God or not. You don't know what's on the other side of what God has told you to do. That's why when we step out in obedience, you know what, even if you look a fool, I'd rather be a fool than disobedient. I'd rather look absolutely childish and ridiculous in front of you rather than be disobedient, because I want to be someone that's on the other side of my obedience, someone's saved, someone's encouraged, someone's blessed. You do not know what's on the other side of your obedience to God. See, what you do for God has huge importance and huge significance on other people. I was thinking this through, and I was thinking, you know what, Lord? I can imagine when we don't obey you. This is not a guilt trip. This is like inspiring you to be obedient. I can imagine a woman sitting there, Lord, if I don't get bread today, me and my son's going to die. Lord, send someone by with food. I used to think it came from angels, but it doesn't. It comes from saints. It comes from the people of God. And God will use anybody. And God is like speaking to one of us and going, look, you have two tunics. Will you give that woman a tunic, a coat, a jumper? Give her a fiver. Give her an encouraging word. Give her a hug. And we're like, oh, is it God? Oh, man, I need to pray about that. Or is that God or the devil? Is that God or me? Well, I want to tell you, is that God or just my old nature? Your own nature doesn't give stuff away easily. And the devil doesn't try to tell you to be generous to the other Christians. So you can write them too well. Ah, it might be just myself. She's over here, Lord, send bread. And we're over here. Is that God or not? Step out. She's like, Lord, I'm fasting, I'm praying. What's wrong? The Lord's like, give me a break. Look who I'm working with. Do you know what I mean? El knucklehead over here is just not getting it. She's like giving her all. And there's Christians over on the other side that are not being obedient to God. And God is saying, go here, and we're still here. God is saying, do this, and we're doing our own thing. God is saying, I want you to lay down your life, and you're saying, no, I want to keep all of my life. And the women and the children are over here, please, Jesus, send someone by to encourage me. Please, Jesus, I just need someone to know that you're there. And we're like, was that God? Abandon that thinking and step out, even if you look a fool. Because I tell you, the woman and the widow will rejoice every time your name is mentioned. Every time your name is in the atmosphere, I love him. He came to me when no one else came. I remember up in the flats, they were going around spreading rumors about me. I was saying this and that to the kids. You know what the women in the flats were saying? To the religious authorities, you go away, he feeds our kids. You go away, he brings our kids to the doctor when they're on drugs. You go away, he travels up to the park with the kids and with the youth in the car to get them out of flats, to get them out of trouble. When your name is mentioned, when you just give a little bit of love and attention and obedience, that every time you're mentioned, but I tell you what, there's millions sitting in bank accounts. Millions, hundreds, thousands sitting in bank accounts belonging to millionaire Christians. You know why? They're eating for themselves. And the widows in the church are like, Lord, send your provision. And they're like, is it God? There's people sitting down that are supposed to be in foreign fields. They're like, God has called me, God has called me, God has called me. There's people over in foreign fields saying, Lord, send your missionaries. And we're still here. Is it God? You don't know what's on the other side of your obedience, my friend. One act, one word, one kind thought, one gesture. You don't know what that has in effect in the kingdom of God. You don't know the power of just doing something in obedience, even if it's a shaking of a hand, that you don't know the power of it. We want to be a church, amen? That obedience. I'm rushing through my notes because I need to get to the end. Remember the emptying. Sometime later, the kid died. Anyway. The woman goes to Elijah. What's the story? Elijah, I obeyed God. Where's the son? He goes in, brings him upstairs, brings life back to him. Do you know what I was thinking? She sowed in faith and she received a miracle. She'd sowed something yesterday. Yes, the week, yes, the year, and she received it when she needed a miracle. The kid died. She says, I know the one who gets miracles done. And she goes to Elijah and says, Elijah, make this happen. You told me God is great. I've seen God in action. I've seen God provide. She sowed in faith yesterday, and she reaped her reward tomorrow. Keep sowing in faith. Keep being obedient to God. Look after his house. Look after his vision. Look after his work. The woman's kid died and God says, I will look after you because you looked after mine. 1 Kings 18 verse 1. After a long time, in fact, it was the third year, the word of the Lord came to Elijah again. When you think Elijah, you'd be like, ah, come on, Lord. Man, I'm having walking through the desert. I'm having been fed by ravens. I have enough. What do you think? I'd write 10 books on that alone. Man, I've had it. I've had ravens feed me. I had a brook run through my life while I was famine. I obeyed God. That was like, that's what happens in Christendom. We have one experience of God and we write books, but we never move on to the next one. We're praying as a church, Lord, move us to the next place, move us to the next level. And then he gets to Zarephath, he sees a raising of the dead, he sees a multiplication of provision. That's enough, isn't it? Isn't it really? I saved someone from dying, let's just sit back, kick back, and that's it. God says, no, because I've more. So he goes to the next place. And the next place was those who he was running from, who was going to kill him, Ahab and Jezebel. She was killing all the prophets of God. All the prophets that were alive in the land, she was now slaughtering them. And the next word of the Lord that came to Elijah, it says, after a long time in the third year, the word of the Lord came to Elijah, go and present yourself to Ahab. Lord, I don't mind the widow. I actually don't mind the ravens. I'm not going back to those lunatics. They're going to take my life, Lord. They're killing all your people. And then he says, Elijah, go back and present yourself. So Elijah, listen, verse 18, chapter 18, verse 2. So Elijah went and presented himself to Ahab. Again, he obeyed God. Again, he gave in. He went beyond himself. He went back to those who are worshipping other gods, who needed rain, and the rain wasn't coming at his word. Imagine me saying, Eddie, you're not going to eat for 3 years, and now I come and stand in front of you. Your children are going to suffer. And God says, now go back and talk to Eddie. And he went back. And do you remember he went up on Mount Carmel, and he took on the prophets. And he says, if your God is God, put the sacrifice out, and we call fire, and whoever sends fire, if your God sends fire, we'll all worship him. But if my God sends fire, we'll all worship my God. And they prayed, and all the prophets of Baal came out and were cutting themselves and screaming out and going into a frenzy just to get their God to move. Just doing screaming louder, hey, help, show that you're God. There's hundreds of Christians doing that today. God, touch me. The man of God steps up and says, God, do what you said you were going to do. The fire of heaven came and consumed everything. We don't have to scream at God for his attention. We already have his attention. We're in Christ. He never takes his eye off of him. He's the darling of heaven, God the Father. Every time he looks at him, we're in him. Hey, God. I was like, yes, son. Yes, daughter. He calls down the fire of heaven. The fire comes down. All of the people start worshiping God. The people of God comes into alignment with the purposes of God again. Then the emptying continues. Listen to chapter 19. Ahab told Jezebel. Now it was the one thing Ahab been after him. But see that beast of a Jezebel. You know what? She was like a Rottweiler with lipstick on. You know, she was ready to eat him. She was ready to chew his face. And when Ahab told her, she absolutely freaked. She said, I tell you what, again this day tomorrow, may I die if he doesn't die tomorrow at my hands. He's going to suffer like all the rest. The word got out to Elijah. Chapter 19, verse 3, Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. We're on a journey of emptying, remember? He was afraid of man. He was afraid of Jezebel. The fear of man keeps us from reaching our potential. What will he say? What will she say? What will I look like in front of my workmates? Oh, it's all right, just lose your potential. Just go and be just like everyone else. What will they say, he say, she say? What will the boss say when he knows I'm a Christian? What will they do? I'll tell you what, here's the opposite. Just lie down, go to your grave with, died with his potential inside of them. That's all right. They'll all celebrate her funeral. He was a nice bloke. Nice girl. Nice is not good enough. But he ran. And he sat under a tree. And this is what he said after a day's journey. He came to the broom tree and sat under and he prayed. And he says, Lord, I want to die. I've had enough. Take my life. I've no better than all my father and their fathers. And he started getting into himself. He started saying, Lord, I'm just no good. I am absolutely as worse than my dad. And his dad was worse than him. And I'm no better than any of them. He says, Lord, I want to die. Remember, every time Elijah prayed, he got what he prayed for. I believe he went into such a depression that he really says, okay, God, kill me. I know you answer my prayer. Kill me. He said, I'm no better than my upbringing. I'm no better than my father. I'm just like all of those in my ancestry that didn't obey you. Insecurities was killing him. Depression had crept into his life. Maybe he was saying, this depression has been in my ancestry, in my ancestors for years. I'm no better than them. It's always going to be there. He was running low. He was nearly empty. How did he get to this point? He was hearing God, obeying God, seeing miracles, having victory over false prophets, calling down the fire of God. He was a prophet. He was a man of God. He was God's man for the time. And he's in this position. How do you get there? The angel of the Lord, it says, came back to him a second time and touched his life and says, get up and eat, for you're going to journey, for your journey is too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days, 40 nights until he reached Horeb. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah when he was in a cave. How do you get to that place? Some of us think we get to these places from disobedience. Some of us think we get to these places because we've sinned. Some of us think we get to these empty places because we're not exactly on the money, on the button. But he was all the opposite. He was obeying God, seeing God move. He was in the ready will of God. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah and said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? He was in the cave. He was in depression. He was in a place where he journeyed for 40 days and 40 nights because he was on a journey to get to where God wanted him to be. Elijah, how did you get here? Elijah went into a pity party. Who likes pity parties? I love inviting people to my pity party. He says, the Lord says, what are you doing here? He says, Lord, I've been zealous for you. I've done everything you ask of me. The Israelites, them blackguards, rejected your covenant. They've broken down your altars. They put your prophets to death with the sword. And I'm the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too. And he, that was his response to God. And he went on this 40 day of walking. And the Lord said to him, go up and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord. For the Lord is about to reveal himself to you. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in an earthquake. After the earthquake, there was fire from heaven, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and he went and stood at the mouth of the cave. And this voice spoke again. Can you imagine God showing his power? Elijah standing there. The wind blew like torrent of wind, like this powerful wind blew by him, and the Lord wasn't in it, but he was displaying his power. And then with that, the mountain started to rip open. The Lord was standing up and he was showing Elijah, this is how powerful I am. And then fire came. The symbols of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, wind and fire came and from God wasn't in it. But the gentle voice of God, the whisper. In fact, the original word says it something like this, in the sheer thinness of silence, God spoke. Doesn't that sound mystical? In the sheer thinness of silence, God spoke. I'm not in all the shouting right now. I'm not in all the bravado right now. I just want to speak to you intimately. I just want to tell you how much I love you. In the sheer thinness of silence, God whispers into his ear, Elijah, what are you doing here? He could have taken that two. You can take that two ways. Elijah, what are you doing here? Did I not show you all my strength and all my power? Did I not take on the devils and the Baals and everything in front of you? Did I not provide for you? Did I not feed you? Did I not show you my miracle, my provision? What are you doing here? I think it was something different going on. Elijah answers him again with the incorrect answer. Lord, I'm the only one that served you. Lord, my family and my people have broken the covenant. They're serving Baal. Elijah, what are you doing here? Here's the answer. What are you doing in this empty place? What are you doing where you're just wanting to die, where you just don't know what's going on? What are you doing here? Trace back. Who told Elijah to go to the brook? God. When the brook ran out, who told him to get up and move to Zarephath? God. When God told him, when that happened, what God says to him, now go and show yourself to Ahab. Who told him to do that? God. Who told him to go to the mountain and take on the prophets of Baal? God. Who caused him to run off? God. Who led him to the place of emptiness? God. Who led him to the place where he didn't know what was going on? God. The reason why God was getting him to this place, because he was emptying Elijah of Elijah. He was emptying Elijah of his insecurities. He was entering Elijah of living off the past, or the past being his Achilles heel. He was emptying Elijah of the very things that would kill his future, that would kill his leadership, that would rip him off of the dreams that God has put in his heart. He says, Elijah, I brought you here for this reason. I want to deliver you from you. I want to deliver you from your insecurities. I want to deliver you from the pains that is inside of you. I want to deliver you from the places, the mindsets, the self-pity, the games that you played with yourself, the hurt, the discouragement, the depression. Elijah, I brought you to this place so you could empty yourself out in front of me. I want to deal with your insecurities. I want to deal with your sin. I want to deal with your mindset. I want to send you back a different man. But to do that, I need to empty you of who you are. The place the Lord makes us and brings us on the journey to empty us is to set us up for our future. To set us up for the plans and the purposes of God. When all the tingles are gone and all the bells stop ringing and all the Holy Ghost bumps are gone and it feels like prayer is hitting the wall and it feels like I can't get through to the Lord. I'm emptying myself. Lord, where are you? Where are you? Right here. In the sheer thinness of silence, I'll speak to you. And Elijah done what we need to do. He went and pulled the cloak over his face. He says, Lord, here I am. Lord, speak to me. And God spoke to him. Elijah got delivered from the addiction that we have to man's approval, to man's acceptance. Elijah got delivered from having to please man and prove himself to man. And the Lord says, now Elijah, this is where I want you to do. I want you to go back the way you came. I want you to go back the very way that you came. What, Lord? Yeah, go back and face your issues. Go back and face the things that trip you up. Go back and face that Jezebel. Go back and face that fear. Go back and face that insecurity. Go back and face your past. Go back and look her in the eye. I'm sending you back, but I'm not sending you back the old Elijah. I'm sending you back a new Elijah. He said, I want you to go back. I want you to anoint Elisha, who's going to be our successor. So your ministry and your legacy is going to continue, Elisha, now that you're going back, now that you're empty, now that I'm sending you back a different person. And not only that, you're going to anoint the next king. You're going to be involved in the future of Israel because I'm sending you back a different person. It's okay to be emptied by God, because he wants to send you out a different person. Elijah had to discern, what is God doing in my life? What is God trying to empty me of? I'm finished. Colossians 3:3. It says, for you died and your life is now hidden in Christ. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Paul says, this is what I consider everything that is in my life to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For the sake I've lost all these things, I've been emptied. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from faith in God. Paul was saying, everything that he's emptied me of, I look at it and go, it's rubbish compared to having the life of Christ living through me and in me. That we hang on to rubbish stuff when God wants to give us his life. We hang on to addictions when God wants to give us freedom. We hang on to past hurts when God wants to deliver us from them. We hang on to issues when all the art is issues, and the issues keep on tripping us up and never allowing ourselves to be emptied before God. I want to call us this morning. That you would go before God as we just finished with a song. You would say, God, you know what? All the stuff that fills me up anyway never satisfy me. That, Lord, if I have to go to the brook, if I have to go to Seraphet, where the place of potential hunger, if I have to go to face my people on the mountaintop, if I have to go 40 days and 40 nights on a journey to get to the mountain place where you can speak to me so that I can be emptied of me, Lord, here I am. Because I tell you what, look at the alternative. It's hard to go on this journey. It's hard to be emptied of yourself. But look at the alternative. Stay where you're at. Live with yourself. Live with your fears. Live with your insecurity. Live with your pain. Live with your hurt. Live with your lack of potential. In the lack of potential. Live with colorless dreams. Live with low living. Or take the risk like the woman with the bread and the oil. Says, God, I give it to you. And I encourage you, whatever God says to you, do it. That's all I'm saying. Whatever God says to you, I'm not going to tell you what God's going to say to you. But whatever he says to you, do it. Because on the other side of that, who knows? The country could come to Christ. The whole neighborhood could come to Jesus. Families can be healed. Rifts can be set, can be healed in families. Your future is what's on the line in some of this stuff. So Father, I humbly come before you, Lord. As a man on a journey, I ask my other sojourners, Father God, to get on the journey of God, where you empty us so that we can really live. That we lose our life so we can truly find it. That we can be emptied of the fears and hindrances that keeps us awake at night, the hurts and the pains. Father, loosen our grip on them this day. That we can say, I surrender all. I surrender it all to you, Lord. I give you my heart, my soul, my mind, my spirit. I give it to you, Lord. Because I am not settling for the alternative when there's a new life in Christ Jesus awaiting me. And I don't know everyone here. And just while people have their eyes closed and they're zoning themselves out with God. You're saying, no, man, I've come here this week. I've never heard this before. I didn't know I really had that potential. I've just seen my life broken. Your life may be broken right now. But I want to tell you, you're looking at a broken man. You're looking at someone who came broken, battered, didn't know where my left or my right. I want to tell you, 20 years on this journey, I want to tell you, God does an incredible job. You say, you know what, I want to start that journey. And here's what you do. Jesus, I give you my life. Forgive me of everything I've done wrong. I know that you died for them sins. And I accept your forgiveness, and I believe that you are the Son of God, and I want to live for you. And it can be as simple as this, all of that said in this way, if you mean all of this and sincere, Jesus, I give you my life. It might be a first step on the journey, but it's a step. Lord, I give you this life. And then there's others. We just want to say simply a prayer, Lord. Like Elijah, I'm sick of my past. I'm sick of my insecurities. I'm sick of living out of my hurt. I'm sick of pushing people away because of past things. I'm sick of being rejected. I'm sick of feeling rejected. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm sick and tired of my pillow being saturated with my tears. Lord, I want to be emptied. I need to be emptied. I place my life in your hands. I know you're gentle and kind. I know you're compassionate. I know you're slow to anger. I know you have unlimited patience. Lord, because I want to be the person that obeys
and see what God does on the other side of my obedience. I can't make this happen for you guys. I can't pray this into you. I can't put my hand on you and say it's going to be done, because it's an action. It's a faith step that needs to be carried out tomorrow. And when these things come up, that you put your trust in God.